Morning. Maybe we could start with a word of prayer. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we want to thank you that we can be gathered here together, even though it may be a little nasty on the roads outside. Thank you for the beautiful snow that you've given us. And pray that you would be with us this morning, lead and guide and direct us, and pray that you would speak through me. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Lately, I've been thinking about, it's been running through my mind, what our reaction is when God says no to our prayers. It's not something that we like to think about a lot, but it could very well happen to us as much as anyone else, even though we don't like to think that it would. And there's three ways that I've came up with that we can respond. Well, number one is resist. And I know God didn't tell him no, but Jonah came to my mind when he told God no. We could see what happened to him. It didn't end up quite as well as he was wanting it to. We can resent it, meaning we can mope and we can do it, but we can complain and gripe and all that. Or we can rest and trust in him when he sees that our ways are not as fitting to his plan. We think of Paul, where he said he would glory in his trials, even though they weren't quite what he thought he wanted them to be. So I want to look at a couple examples in the Bible. First, we can turn to 1 Chronicles 28. Here we see David when God told him that he wasn't supposed to be the one to build the temple, even though he was the one who wanted to be, starting in verse 1. And David assembled all the princes of Israel and the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captain over the thousands and the captain over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substances and the possessions of the kings and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. And David the king stood upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build the house of rest for an ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler and of the house of Judah, the house of my father and among the sons of my father. He liked me to make me king over all Israel. And all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, and hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord of Israel." We'll jump to verse 20 to see David's reaction. David said unto Solomon his son, "Be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail me nor forsake thee. For thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all my manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man, for every manner of service, also the princes and all the people who be holy at thy commandment." We see David didn't mope around, but instead he realized he could help Solomon when he may be trying to rule the kingdom, and he cheerfully did that, not upset by the answer that God gave him that he couldn't do what he wanted to. Another one I thought of is a familiar one in 2 Corinthians, is Paul. 2 Corinthians 12. Starting in verse 5. "Of such and will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, Through an abundance of the revelations, it was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan should buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for me, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I will take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I am become a fool in glorying. Ye have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing I am behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing. I pray our reaction when God tells us no is as Paul, where he says, Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities. We don't sit there and wish that, oh, well, our thinking would be better. But rather, we look and see that God sees the bigger picture. Last one I want to look at is in Mark 14. Starting in verse 32, we see Jesus here. And they had came to the place where it was named Gethsemane, and he saith to his disciples, Sit ye here, while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and became very sore amazed, and be very heavy. And he saith unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. While he went a little, and fell on the ground, and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, why sleepest thou? Thou couldest not watch 1 hour? And he said, and again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And he returned and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wist they had what to answer him. And he cometh a third time and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of God is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. We see even Jesus here, even he prayed, and he was told no. So it's not like it's uncommon among us. Even his disciples fell asleep. Must have been pretty discouraging when his friends couldn't even be with him and comfort him in his last hours when he was seeing what he was about to go through. All three of these accepted and were willing, even though God didn't grant what they wanted. They still were able to look to God and realize that his plan was best in their life. I'm glad Jesus went to the cross, I can tell you that. So, also, if we look here in Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We see if God doesn't always have our best of interest in mind, or that we think is our best in interest. He has his mind in the glory. I heard a speaker once say, when God shuts the door in our face to keep walking down the hall, because he has a bigger and a better door waiting for us. We may not see, but it'll be for his glory. That's what I had.